Now, all week here on the program, we've been hearing about the big artificial intelligence conference that has been taking place here in the UK. How to manage its tremendous potential and the possible dangers that come with emerging technology. But is the high-tech promise of AI just for rich countries? Well, I've been talking about this with Daniel Bjørkegren, assistant professor at the International and Public Affairs at Columbia University in New York, and has been writing How to Harness the Power of AI in the Developing World.
A lot of the concerns that people have in the wealthy world, that AI might replace jobs of existing workers, from teachers to doctors to lawyers. Some of the poorer people around the world can't afford to hire many of those types of helps. So a poor family, for example, might not be able to hire a lawyer, or they might not be able to hire individual tutors for their children. There is a potential with some of these new AI technologies to be able to provide a lot of services that people can't really afford when they are quite poor.
What kind of benefits do you foresee?
For people who currently can't access services, like if you can't afford best-in-class medical care, you might think that they might be able to provide some better advice than is currently available to, say, to people in rural areas. Similarly, AI might soon be able to provide better assistance in classrooms and really help education in places that are currently underserved. There's a lot of places where expertise is available only in select parts of the population. Business owners, for example, trying to make decisions, being able to make those decisions in concert with systems that allow them to access additional consulting help or basically tools that allow them to make more informed decisions. Also, many people don't have access to the legal system. And so systems that allow people with low literacy to better understand exactly what their rights are could have a large impact.
How can AI help with the legal system?
A lot of the laws that I'm subject to, if I'm thinking about filing my taxes every year, it's very hard for me to understand exactly what laws apply to me and what rights I have. But one of the promising features that we've seen so far in recent developments in AI is that you can start to ask questions in kind of your own natural language, and it can act as a bridge between a legal document, which can be kind of complex and hard for us to process, though it means something very technical to lawyers, and it actually makes sense to us in our everyday language. And so you can imagine people who don't have a legal background can ask questions in the language that they find most natural and then starts to use these systems as a bridge.
On the continent of Africa, what kind of AI projects are there?
One organization I'm partnering with is Fab Data, which is creating an AI chatbot for teachers. And it's basically like a sidekick for teachers, where they can ask for help writing a lesson plan or teaching a concept. And right now it's just in a very early pilot, but some teachers are actually regularly using this and getting help in their classroom. But I know other teams across the continent are working on other applications in education and also in medicine.
Are there any challenges that you've run into trying to collect data? Because most of the continent, really, lack of data is an issue.
Much of the data that has been gathered around the world is on wealthy people in wealthy countries. And so one of the challenges in that system is that when you ask the kind of standard AI systems developed in California for advice for teachers, it will tell you, oh, just use your smart whiteboard and project your slides on the screen to teach students. That can improve learning. That is not great advice when you have a teacher whose classroom doesn't have electricity. In addition to data, there's some tweaks you can do to tailor advice to the resources that people have available. We're going to need to figure out how to adapt these systems, both in terms of resources, but also in terms of local customs and language as well. Many of these systems work best in English. Many of the people in many developing countries don't speak English as their first language. And really making sure these systems work for people where they are. There are potential harms. Countries should be aware of that and be prepared to adapt. But I do think it would be easy to be scared about the potential harms and not invest enough in the potential benefits, which I think could be substantial.
Daniel Bjørkegren, Assistant Professor of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University.